God, open our ears to hear the glorious gospel, so our faith
may rejoice in Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Merry Christmas. Luke's gospel, which we've heard for 9 consecutive worship services, is given to us from an earthly standpoint. It's linear, very earthy. It's Luke and probably Mary informed him of so many of the accounts, as we heard last night, that Mary pondered all of these things in her heart, thought about them over and over and over. It's like us. Every time the gospel is heard, it brings us fresh grace. John's prologue in his gospel is almost as if it's from above down to us, from God's perspective. And in fact, it is. 2 Peter tells us that we did not follow cunningly devised fables, as we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But holy men of God spoke by God. So, viewed from above downward, in a sense, we hear this marvelous, very deep, but filled with the wonderful things that make Christmas merry in the hearts of Christians very glad, to unwrap some of these gems. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John isn't writing to new Christians. He is very conscious, precise, convicted by God that these things are true. So the hearers of this opening of John's gospel knew exactly who this Word was. In the beginning already was the Word of Christ, and the Word was already God, and the Word was God. It's interesting. He goes on and speaks of Jesus being the Word and the life and the light. When we use that little three-letter word, the, in language it's called an article. And in the Scripture, those articles are so important, or the lack thereof, so that we are given to see the specificity, I got that word out, the very locale of who God is and how He is toward us, so that we're never left to wonder. Jesus is the Word. He is the life. He is the light alone. There is no other possibility. In the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. And so knees bow, and hearts are made glad that God isn't afar from us, but revealed to us, as we heard last night, through sacred Scripture. And God takes this Word and gives it to us. Jesus is the Word of God in two respects. Jesus expresses or reflects the mind of God. Remember all those passages when He said, "The word that I speak to you is not mine, it's the Father's who gave it to me." You hear people say once in a while, sometimes sarcastically, mockingly, sometimes even in a rage or perhaps in doubt, "I wish I could see God, if He would just show up." Well, He has. This is not new for us. In fact, it's old. God showed up to our first parents when they had disobeyed him and listened to another rather than this word which brings us life, light, and salvation. And he promised that one would come and stomp on the head of this one that brought such division and animosity between us and the Father. Jesus is that word of God in two ways, that he reflects the will of the Father, so that we are sure and certain, as Luke began to speak to Theophilus about these things in which we were instructed, these holy things, and our faith is made with God. Second, Jesus reveals God to man. Christ is the Logos, because through him all of the purposes, all of the plans, and all of the promises of God the Father are brought into this final and absolute focus for the world to see and receive. From eternity, he and the Father were together, bonded, deep relationship. And the Father resolved with the Son and the Holy Ghost to create the world. And that's well and good. The second present here, though, is that no one was aware of God's resolve to reconcile the world to himself through the life and death and resurrection and ascension of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That word is proclaimed to us. That word gives us life because it's in him that we live and move and have our being. On the other side, don't think through it too hard. On the other side of heaven, we'll know more fully this great mystery between the triune God and the life between the Father and the Son. But we also get a glimpse of this here and now, both with regard to who and the what of the Father and the Son are doing presently, making us who once were dead alive to God, making us who had no purpose given a future, making us who, like sheep who have gone astray, in tune now to the voice of the shepherd, so we hear only his word and will never follow another. These things bring us joy, and they bring us into that marvelous making of a second relationship, into the sons and daughters of God, as the epistle lesson pointed out. He was in the beginning with God, and everything was made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made through him. Hear how Paul speaks of this in Colossians 1. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that is, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, because God had said, no man can see me and live. And so, like Luther writes, he hides himself in the flesh of humanity, so we're not afraid of God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth. And we know from Scripture, except one thing he did not create, and that's sin. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, he allows all of them to be present. Everything was created through him, and here it comes, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Everything holds together. He's the glue that binds all of the joy of Christmas in our life. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's why we're not Episcopalian or Presbyterian or any of the churches that have this hierarchy and make divisions of people. No, sons of God. Different vocations, to be sure, But according to the order of redemption, there is no maleness, no femaleness, no free or slave, no Jew nor Gentile. All are one in Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all of this Godhead should dwell. And faith steps back in awe. And through him to reconcile everything to himself. Everything to himself. Sent from the Father. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the means of the blood of his cross. Hebrews 1 undergirds this again and says, God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets. And he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, it pleased the Father to send the Son, and the express image of his person, according to their Godhead, their equal in divinity. And upholding all things by his word, the same word that created the heavens, the stars, you, and everything in it, he holds all of that up by his mighty word as God. So that when he had by himself, no one helped, he purged our sins. And then the Father accepted the Son's sacrifice and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. These are marvelous things. These are the presents we unwrap every day as God's children when we come into contact with his word. So we're never left without who this God is or who he is toward us as his people. And he is the light and he is the life and he is the light that shines. Old Testament light too. Remember Isaiah 40, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. The people living in deep darkness have seen the light, and that light shines. God did not withhold his light, even to the prophets and Marys and mothers and children of the Old Testament. But the darkness did not comprehend it. That word comprehend is kind of a confusing thing. It did for me as a kid. Even what does it mean? The darkness can't comprehend. It can be comprehended, didn't understand it, but it can also mean, and I think more presently, the darkness can't put out this light. No sin, no darkness, no dreariness, no sadness, no grief, no death can put out the light of the gospel that shines into the hearts of men and women. It just cannot overtake it. This is Christ come to be with us, God present with us. And we heard earlier through Zechariah that John was a man sent by God. God picks men to go and preach the gospel. They're not self-appointed. And his name was John, as the angel Gabriel, who once stood in heaven, came down and spoke to Zacharias and his wife and said, he shall be called John. And this man came for a witness, and we know what a witness is. He tells the truth. To bear witness of, here it comes, the second one, the light. So that all, no one's exempt from this, so that all through him, through Christ, might believe. That's the goal of the gospel. That's why God came breaking into our dark night. That's why God spoke to Adam and Eve. That's why he gave the prophetic word to all of those generations. That's why the word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And that's why God gathered the apostles and said, go out and preach this good news to the world, so that repentance and the forgiveness of sins can be made known to all, because that's what infects and covers our brightness, is our sin. It's not God who ushered that in. Satan wanted God's job and he kicked him out of heaven and said, no, there's only one God. So to reconcile us and to bring this marvelous light in us and to the world, it's for all people. Remember John 3:16, he so loved the... Yeah. And the children's song we learned at in Sunday school still remains true today. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. This light is for all men, and you can't hide from this. There are no agnostics. There are no atheists. There may be fence-sitters and mugwumps, not to be confused with It's for all people. And what does the light do? What does light always do? God takes something in physics that he made and presents it before us in a very simple way. When we're in deep darkness and all the lights are off, we need light. And we turn it on and everything becomes clear. That's what faith is toward this God who gives us his Son so we can call God our Father. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that true light gives light to every man who comes into the world. You can run from it, you can hide from it, you can ignore it, but it still shines brightly. That's the grace of God that has appeared to all men. So that even you and I, as insignificant as we seem we are, that gospel still shines brightly for you, for me. He was in the world from his incarnation, the time he was inside of the womb of Mary, he was in the world. And all the way up to until his ascension, God was in the world in the person of Jesus Christ. How did the hymn go? We just sang it. It pleased him as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And the world was made through him. That's the whole world, including every single person. And the world did not know him. Now he's speaking to the unbelievers in the world, not to Christians. They didn't recognize him, and it's a constantive verb. They will continue not to recognize him. And now we see the goal of the church, to arise and shine. For our light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us, because people still are living in deep darkness. And that's the glorious mission of the church for every single person, from child to adult. We all have meaning. We all have purpose. We're all God's sons and daughters. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Oh, some were ready. Simeon in the temple, Anna, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah, many other believers, but most would not and could not. Because men by nature, as he gets to now, some did receive him. And to them he gives the right. It's not an inherent right like we hear people in politics and on the news and your friends and even old people say, I have the right. Before God, truth be told, we have no rights. None. All have forfeited our salvation. All have broken, not only by original sin in us, by actual sin, by doing, our right to be with God. So God levels the whole playing field and says he condemns the whole world and calls them sinners so that he can raise up a new people with the light of Christ who brings us forgiveness and draws us together as the sons and daughters that we belong originally to the Father. They're born not of blood nor of the flesh, but born of God. Natural man on his own, we are, and the scripture speaks to it, dead in our trespasses and sins, enemies toward God. We cannot please him, nor will we love him. So the reason for the light to come, to take that darkness away, and to bring us to the Father through the Son, that's how God operates. It's nothing new. It's a marvelous gift that he gives to us. We cannot cause our salvation nor keep us in the faith. Pull ourselves up, put on the armor of God, they say. No, I think they need to keep reading. We are God's children, and he's made us. Begotten, not made. Paul says to Timothy, I've begotten you through the gospel. I've made your peace. I will care for you. I will be your shepherd. I will be your light. And that light does shine in your darkness, and it makes it very brilliant. Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me, that's all people, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And again, he said, a little while longer, the light is with you, so walk in the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the light is loved by God. He who walks in the darkness doesn't know where he's going. And while you have the light, I will give you faith to believe in the light so that you will always remember you are sons of light. And then here it comes, the incarnation. The eternal generation of the Son who was with the Father at creation now comes in the fullness of time, God's calendar. God sends his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to what? Tell you, oh, you better watch out. You bet no. To redeem us who were in bondage under the law's threats. He who sins shall die. So Christ comes. As John says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Don't forget, though, Moses also knew of the coming one, of the Savior. And he was filled with gospel in his lips and in his life. And the Word then becomes flesh and dwells among us. There's a mystery, but a deep, profound love of God. Not away from us, but with us. Not against us, but says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy, I will give you rest. And we beheld his glory. We've seen it with the eyes of faith in the scriptures. We've seen him baptize children to make them Christians. Underneath the veil is bread and wine. But make no mistake, behind that bread and wine is Christ's veritable word, the same one that spoke creation into existence, the same one that got you the gospel through the centuries so that you know you're not lost, you're not dead, you're not blind. And he'll say to you, open your mouth. As oft as you eat and drink this is my body, this is my blood. You proclaim the Lord's death until you come, until he comes again. No one else's. This is God with us. This is God with wherever two or more are gathered in my church. There I am in the midst of you. This is what makes merry in Christmas. This is what causes joy, not happiness, in us. This is what causes the Christians then to go out as light into the world. And of his fullness, we have all received. The fullness of God can't be. Listen to what Colossians says. It's God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who is shown into your hearts to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so when you make the cradle and Christ enters into your hand and into your mouth, it's pleased the Father to hide him through these such means as bread and wine, together with his word, so that we know things are well between us and the Father, and faith is sure. Oh, in this body, he calls it an earthen vessel, but it's a treasure that God would come to be and place himself in us, so that the excellency of God may be of him and not of us. Like John writes, I must decrease so he can have preeminence. And of his fullness it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of God should dwell. Colossians 1. You can read each of those, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just those first few chapters based on this section of John's prologue, and you'll see this marvelous weaving, how God tells the same thing to us in various and different ways so that we can embrace this God who's come to be present with us, full of grace. This is for all people. Anyone who hears this or reads this grace is for him. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, generated by the Father, fathered from above, the Christmas hymn says, who is in the bosom next to, at the side of the Father. He has declared him to you. A Savior is born, your Savior. Christ the Lord. Rejoice, dear Christians. Merry Christmas. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep you with Christ all the way up until the day of his joyful return. Amen.